2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam. The tafsir of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we have an announcement and we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. We're asking all the believers to make a dua, a prayer for our brother Ali Sadi from Masjidullah in Plainfield, New Jersey. He passed away. His janazah was today. But we still can pray for his soul and ask Allah to forgive him his faults and his sins, grant him paradise, and bless his family to have strong faith in Allah during the hour of bereavement. The Quran Surah 45, Ayah 3, signs in the heavens and yourself. So the picture is on the intellect, but before the mind can cultivate it, feed the digest the world, you know that's what God created the human mind to do, digest the whole world. Now, you can't understand what I'm talking about when I say digest. There's a little excellent publication out there, been out a long time, very excellent one, Reader's Digest. Yes, God created the human brain, human intellect, to digest the whole world, the whole world of matter, created things. That's why in Quran it says that in the heavens you will find signs, ayat, and in the earth signs, ayat, and also in yourself, or in what between heaven and earth, ayat. Ayat verses in Quran. Now, what is an ayat? It is a verse of the Quran. Ayat, the word is in print. That's what it is, ayat. Is one ayat, many verses. So what is God saying? Using the same terminology, exactly, not a different one, same term that he used to identify this writing, this print in this book. He used to tell you what you should be perceiving when you are looking at the external world and yourself as matter. You are looking at ayat. Now, if I want to read this ayat, it's from God. These are from God, directly from God. I want to read these because they came from God. Then God tells me everything that you say out there is ayat. Now, the sun came directly from God, too, before the revelation did, and the moon, and all the stars. The wind and the storm, the water, everything, life, death, all created by God, as well as by my own self, that made those people scientific. The revelation came to them like this. It made them scientific. It directed them to study the order, of the sky and the earth and all life, including their own selves. And extract from it the ilma, the science, and the knowledge, and rahma, and the mercy that God wants to extend to his human creatures by way of enlightenment. We are going to round this up now. Yes, it's almost four, so everything is all right. So we want to know our own self. Know your own self. Isn't that what the Nation of Islam came to tell us? Get a knowledge of yourself, knowing that if you keep pursuing a knowledge of ourselves, eventually we will come to realize that, no, we ain't no gods. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We can't do a marvelous creation like this. We are no God. Now, let me say something, brother. You never got the sisters to believe that you were God. Yes, sisters, I know. We are far enough away from the problem days to tell them that now. They can take it now. Never got the sisters to believe that you were God. I know my mother, she believed her teacher, Mr. Farad, was God. But she did not believe anybody else was God, not even her husband. No, indeed. And she let him know, too. If he came down on her like a God, she let him know, you ain't my God now. Just a minute, honey. You ain't my God. Remember what the Savior said. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, it's something. It's a marvelous experience we have lived. I wouldn't exchange it for the world. No, Allahu Akbar. God is my witness. I often thank him for not letting me be born in Africa. I thank him for not letting me be born in Saudi Arabia. I thank him for not letting me be born in Pakistan, Egypt, Iran, or any of those places. I thank him for not letting me be born in the church or in the synagogue. Oh, I thank him for letting me be born, Wallace D. Mahmood. Transparency struggles to see essence. So what is the new expression now in higher intellectual circles, especially of the God-fearing people, God-fearing educated people? There's an expression, transparency, and an expression that says what we are striving for is transparency, to get rid of the physical picture and see the true essence, striving for its transparency. Man in the image of God. Transparency is true self. Genesis 1:26-27, God created man in his image. Not only does revelation have body, gross body, and transparency, but also the human person. You have gross body and transparency. And your transparency is the true you, not your gross body. So I mentioned my photo. They have my photo, but they don't have a picture of me. The true picture of me is to know me in my spirit, in my mind, and in my action. That's the true picture of me. And that's transparency. It's invisible. So when God says he made us in his image, it means that your true picture is not concrete. It's not physical. Your true picture is invisible, transparent. And he has gave to us of his attributes, like he's merciful. He has made us to be merciful, created us to be merciful. Like he's generous, he has created us to be generous. Like he's holy and does not accept corruption. He has made us to want holiness and to reject corruption. He has given us of his own attributes. He's intelligent and all intelligent, and he has made us intelligent and to be intelligent. He's self-seeing God. So this is the truth. And if you have seen yourself, you have seen your Lord, because your Lord is the one that made you that way. The Quran, Surah 45, Ayah 3-4, signs in the sky, earth, and yourselves. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 30, don't make changes on the nature made by God. John 10:10, nature is sacred. The Quran was revealed so man could get the nature's blessing. So what I am saying is, if it is done nature, it is okay. But if it is not already done by nature, there is not an example in nature for it. Then it is not okay. For us, nature is sacred. God has not put more blessings in anything other than he has put in nature. And he only revealed the Quran to help man to go to nature in a better and more productive way. And that is what the Bible says, that you may have life and have it abundantly, and that you may have an increase. And God in the Quran, he gives you increase. And the prayer for the increase in Quranic Arabic, Zet me ilmen. That is, increase me in knowledge, because of the revelation we get a great abundance or a great increase in all things. That is good. But nature is where it is, and he directs us to nature. That is where it comes from. The Quran revelation is an expression of nature. Everything is an expression of nature except God. Even revelation itself is an expression of nature. I'm telling you what I know, not what I'm guessing at. Even the Quran is an expression of nature, called the Word of God, but God lets us know that these words are in the creation. The Quran, Surah 45, Ayat 3 to 4. He said, there are ayats in you, ayats in the heavens, ayats all between the heaven and the earth, ayats in the earth, ayats in the human, yourself, ayat, versus ayat, the plural form of the word. And then he refers to the mother of the book, says that it is in the mother of the book, the nature, that he created the mother of the book. The Quran, Surah 43, Ayat 4, mother, we are written in her womb. Just like we are an expression out of our mother, born of our mother, nothing written. What I mean, no human design. But in our mothers, they have formed a human design. And we are written in our mother, philosophically speaking. Then she produces what she has in her computer. It comes out a finished product. Revelation is in creation, and man is inspired to bring it out. So it is the same way for scripture. Revelation is in God's creation. It's in man and in everything. God has the power to inspire man to bring it out. There's a lot to that statement in the Quran. Deen al-fitra talahi lati fitirin nasiya alayha. Deen al-fitra talahi lati fitirin nasiya alayha. It is the religion of origin. The word fitra simply means origin. So man is civilized, jinn is uncivilized man. The religion of al-Islam, God patterned man upon, and man here means civilized man. So in fact, man only means civilized man in the Quran. Man in human body, processed by the jinn, is the uncivilized man, or as the Christians say, Gentile. It is because the Jews called them Gentiles because they were savage, barbaric, and worship of idols, bloodletters, and a bloodthirsty people. They even had blood killing as their sport. This was in Rome and other countries. So the Jews called them Gentiles. The Quran called them jinn. The Quran shows us that the jinn was already created with a respect, dignity, with an honor. They are not all bad, because it says a party of the jinn heard a recital of the Quran being recited. And they said, what a wonderful recital. No man nor jinn should refuse it or reject it. That was a party of the jinn said, that so that they are not all bad, they are good, and they are bad, and bad halves. The Quran, Surah 45, Ayah 3, signs in the heaven, earth, and yourself. You can't alter God's creation. You can't change it. You can't take it out of its natural state and put it in a state and in that creation power that God created it with to communicate messages to the intellect of man. And if I mean man and women, no. So I'm looking at theology, technology, pardon me. And I'm reading signs because that's still God's creation. And it's never is deprived of its ability or its power to send messages to the intellect of man. I'm looking at technology, but I am also aware of science, theory, on the beginning of the earth and how the earth is made, how it's constituted, how it's made up right now. And when you think about it, this is nothing new. The comparison that I will make, these comparisons have been made thousands of years ago by religious students who studied the revelation of God, God's revelation to man. Creation power is the will of God. So you know the power of the creation is the will of God. Listen to what I'm saying. The power, the real power of creation is the will of God. God created it. His will is in it. It can't exist except his will be in it. He can't create something with his will, or I should say, he would not, and it's not logical. That's what I mean when I say can't. It's not logical that the creator would create some power of his will, of his own will, and then leave it to exist separated from his will. It also needs the support of his will after he has created it. So whatever he has created is still has the support of his will on it or as an influence and in it. In its nature, the development, it has his will as its strongest influence. So God's will is still in everything he made. And he says in the Quran and scripture before too that he has put his spirit, something of his spirit in everything, something of his spirit in everything. So that's his will, the influence of his will. His spirit is the influence of his will. And we have put something of it in everything. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, this is no new thing. Islam, interfaith Muslims. The Quran, Surah 46, Ayat 9, al-Islam, no new religion. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 43, all prophets had the same message. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 25, heaven, home, Dal Islam. Well, Islam is not a new religion according to our holy book, the revelation from the God of all of us, Jews, Muslims, the revelation to Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was an Arab and a citizen of Mecca. He was born in Mecca and made his home in Medina in what is now called Saudi Arabia. And that revelation, that book revealed to him by God, God said that this is no new thing, conceived revelation. And that Muhammad had not received the Quran, which is al-Islam, the pure source of al-Islam or something new. But it is a verification and a confirmation. A verification supported what had been revealed before. And also a completion on the revelation. We believe that with the Quran, holy book, that Muslims follow 1 billion, and so now of us on this earth, with that revelation was concluded. That that is revelation that would come from God in the form of a book and be left with people as revealed guidance. We believe that. That was the finality of prophethood also, that there would be no prophets like Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, peace be upon them, coming with a book or any more. That is the final book. Not that God wouldn't reveal to anyone anymore, but there would be no new prophet and no revealed book for humanity after the Quran. All religion is the essence is Al-Islam. And in our book, God also makes it clear to us through Muhammad, to whom he revealed that book, he makes it clear to us that the Quran is the essence or the condensed form of the major scripture that came before. So Islam, according to our holy book, was the religion or in the religion of all the prophets. Though we recognize Judaism, Christianity as religions, we see them in their essence, those religions in their essence as Islam. And Al-Islam simply means accepting the will of God, to live by the principles of peace or by the rule of peace under God. That is to say, according to God's will, to live choosing peace, or as someone translated it, put it, surrender to peace, so that you will have peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with your fellow man. That is the meaning of Islam. And it is properly called in the Quran the surrender to peace, Al-Islam. If you would read our holy book in its original language of our holy book, you would never read the word Islam by itself like that. This Islam, it is always the Islam or Al-Islam, heaven called home of peace. God also says to us in our holy book that he is the peace. God himself is the peace. As-Salam is the name of God, one of the divine names of God is in the Quran. God is the peace, As-Salam. His name is called one of his names, many names. And we are also told that the paradise, the heaven that we are invited to work for and earn while we are living in this world is the abode of peace, or it is the destination of peace. It is the destination that will be peace. Further, we are told that when we get in that paradise, those who earn it, therein will be their greeting, and their greeting will be peace, salam, peace. Muslim definition. Muslim, our name is also taken from the word in Arabic, we are Muslim, means a person who has accepted Al-Islam. It means we have also accepted to be at a peace with God, at peace with ourselves, our own soul, and at peace with our fellow man, at peace with the creation of God too. We believe that working, striving to have peace with God makes possible peace with your own soul. Pleasing and pleased, return to your Lord. This is Quran. Return to your Lord, into you my garden. God says, into you my paradise, into you amongst my faithful workers, into you my paradise. Question. Salaam alaikum, Brother Imam. My question is, in Quran, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called on Muslims and Jews and Christians to become Muslims. If they are already believers, then why is he calling them to become Muslims? Because the Quran is the best source of religious knowledge. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yes. Well, Al-Islam is God's choice of religion. But we believe that all prophets came from God. And whatever the prophet brought came from God. And Al-Islam is God's choice of religion, but we believe that the Quran has been protected against any alteration or changes changes, and therefore, we as Muslims, we must insist that the best source for religious knowledge is the Quran. And we invite everyone to become Muslim. Yes, we do. We invite Christians, Jews, and all to become Muslims. Question. So the question about why are they believers? If Allah tells us to become Muslim, then why should they stay as they are? They are already believers. What's the difference? Invite to the path of God, not to be Muslim. Imam W.D. Muhammad, not a lot of Muslims are not believers. They're not all believers, so we are inviting everybody to the way of God. Now, if you notice, the language does not say invite the people to the Ummah of Islam. It doesn't say invite the people to be Muslim. It says invite the people to the path of God, because there are others on that path. So Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, Quran, this is no new message. So we have to understand that Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, told his followers. And God tells us also in this book that what he gave Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, is not something newly formed, but it is what was revealed to those who came before. Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, and a clarification for what they were given from God, and an explanation so we will know how to apply it to our time of life, so we will know how to see it and know how to apply it to our life. And it is a conclusion, and that's what is given here, the Quran here. So, and it is a conclusion, and there is a chapter that is translated conclusion, but it also translated unity, which tells us that for Islam, unity is the conclusion. The Quran is revealed also to conclude matter, but what matter? Not the matter of our pop culture necessarily. It doesn't address this kind of stuff. The matter of revelation. What has come to the people of God. From God is revelation. It comes to conclude those matters, and the books that they receive all tell them to expect a day when the matter will be concluded. So the Quran is the fulfillment of that prophecy that was given to all the people of the book, telling them to expect a day when the matter shall be or will be concluded. Christian, Judaism, Islam are sister communities. The Quran Surah 46, Ayat 9, Muhammad brought no new message. You would be surprised how much alike we are in what God has asked of us as communities on this earth. Very much alike, although we have very, very sharp differences. The three sacred revealed books we share, the Torah, the Gospel, and the Quran. We believe that the author of the three books is the creator of everything in the sky, human beings, all living things, the earth. If we share this belief in common, although these books are separated by their differences, for the three books have the same prophets, for maybe one or two exceptions. We have the same prophets. So the three religions represents progression. The same humanity is historically moral focused. The content, material bears striking resemblance. When you read the story of the prophets in the Bible, you read the story of the prophets in the Quran. You are getting the same name, the same prophets, all coming from one God. So these religions represents progression, or a continuation, and that is exactly what Muhammad, the prophet, present and peace be upon him, wanted us to know. Did not bring anything new. He said, I bring nothing new. God told him to say this. It is no newly put together revelation. If it is a continuation and an explanation, So this is the nature of the Bible too. I'm a student of the Bible as well. If you read Genesis and you read from Genesis on up through the Bible, all the way to Revelation, you are reading of things that have occurred in the history of the human evolution, the evolution of the spirit and the intellect, the evolution of the spiritual life and the intellect. You are reading what occurred in the history of the evolution to the spirit and to the mind, the intellect. You are being influenced to choose righteousness over wickedness, to right or wrong, for life over an immoral life. These books are the same in that respect. Islam emphasizes universal. Al-Islam's distinct picture is seen in its emphasis, emphasis on universal, emphasis on idolized here, universal in the Muslim book, the Quran, are the same as you find in the list of universal appearing early sacred scriptures, the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. The emphasis of there is those books also, but in the Quran, the emphasis is most sharply focused to get your attention to those universals. We should not think of our religion as a religion in some better competition or envious, jealous competition with Jews and Christians or with Judaism and Christianity. That is not the way to look at it. For missing, if you do that, you are to see this as a natural growth. As man grows from the earth, the human family, that is. So when I say man, I mean the human family. As the human family grows on earth and experiences difficulties, has to learn difficulties and make progress. The more progress we make, the more we are connected around the world. The more we venture out from our small quarters and connect with one another, the more we bring about a world that has to look at universal. So when people are separated like we were before discovery of this part of the world, not knowing these two big continents over here, North and South America, we are not connected completely with our own self. The finality of man has not discovered its own self. Man had to discover himself in the various quarters of the world. But now that we have discovered ourselves in the various quarters of the world, if we now, and we have to be connected, milk and honey. The Quran, Surah 47, Ayat 15, milk, wine, river. Exodus 3:8, milk and honey. 1 Corinthians 3:2, milk fed, not meat. You not be to handle it. So milk, blessings of nature's first life. The higher meaning of milk and honey. Milk comes naturally ready. Nature gives us milk. Now, an oppressive society denies us the blessings of nature. So it denies us the first fruits of life that God has created us. God, without any efforts of ours, our own, has given us the first fruits of life, the milk from our mother's breasts. Isn't that a great crime? God Almighty has put it in us to fight an oppressive society that will deny us the blessings of nature. Honey means results of collective work. Honey, since God is going to lead us to the land flowing with honey and milk, honey doesn't come from the breath. Honey doesn't come without effort. Honey is the result of collective work, united effort. The bees are united, workers as a collective whole, and it's busy. They call them busy bees, worker bees. The fruits of one's effort is sweeter than milk. Ah, you can only feel what I'm talking about. But if you experience What I'm talking about, buddy, great forces begin to stir inside of your organ when this kind of wisdom is brought out. So milk has a sweetness, but it is a mild sweetness and softness. Milk is nourishing, but honey is filling. You can take 2 tablespoons of honey and put it in 1 glass of milk, and you almost feel like you had a meal. It is more filling than milk and more nourishing than milk and much more sweeter. You want the honey of life? Then come on out in the wilderness with me, and let's forget about the great castles of Egypt, and let us take the bad desert and turn it into a great kingdom, the bad desert of our own resources. We have nothing. We have nothing. We are barren, bare, like a desert. We don't have great wealth. We don't have great scientists. We don't have great theologians, pardon me. They all are following the discipline of the Pharaoh. But in this new leadership in this community, you have a Moses that can show you how to get milk and honey, the blessings of nature, the reward of nature, and the reward of your own effort. So this honey that came as a reward of your effort demand that you work as a human, that you work as a community together, that you follow some kind of leadership, that you accept authority, follow a discipline. The bees follow a discipline. The bees work together. The bees accept the chain of command. You want to regiment up? No, indeed. Bees killed off male leaders, meaning leadership isn't in one individual. So the bees kill off the male leaders as a sign to the wise that the leadership is not in one individual. Leadership is in the collective body. After the queen serves her purpose, they get rid of her and get in a new queen who has new verberant life. They aren't worshiping no individual. They ain't worshiping personality, an individual. They are respecting great leadership. The biggest male that can go there and knock that screen down and take care of business. But remember, after you do it, you are just a part of the system. Your own exterior body falls down into the system. Your soul has gone into the bee, gone into the queen. You are going to see yourself in the new babies from that queen. But your own personality has gone away into the system, fertilizer. Oh, that's cruel. It's cruel when you see it in the contents of the bee's life. When you take it as a sign of God and you see it in contents of man's social life, oh, it's beautiful. Identity in the inner person. What is my identity? My identity is not in my physical body. Throw it away. Get it away. The moment I impregnate you and this community with this knowledge, then throw my physical body out of your mind. We don't want my body. We want my germ. Once the germ fertilizes, don't look at me. Look at my germ. Do away with me as a person, as a body, but look at my germ. Now my germ is working in the nation, not just in Damascus. I've got followers under the shelter of outside of this shelter. The whole nation has been impregnated. But here, under this shelter, we have a great column of bees. And we are making honey. And it is sweet because it is the work of our own effort. Now, work is the concern of the bee community and can be in the society. So the queen is working, birthing babies, whatever, whenever she gets old and can't perform that function, well, the little young queen that is ready, full of delight to perform that job, is put there. Brother Imam, when you stop producing the results of the work that I'm doing, when I don't see the results of my work profit in your work, then you are becoming a queen that we ought to get rid of. We have to look for the imam that's full of enthusiasm, full of life. He's ready to reproduce my works, prophets, over again and again. And if I should hear that you and your master is telling the people to look at you, see me, I'm the man here, then you are worse because you did not impregnate the queen. And you are hanging around, and you didn't even do the job. If the man who did the job stepped back and focused all the eyes on the job instead of himself, then what should you do when you did not even impregnate this community with the idea? Manna and quail is the milk and the honey in the desert. So it is a double crime on you. The whole hive should kind of come out on you. When they got out in the wilderness, did they get milk and honey? You never read where they got milk and honey, but they got it. It comes in another language. And God rained down manna and quail. So manna and quail is the milk and the honey. And you Bible students will understand this well. And I hope that the other ones will too. Manna, your individual ability to understand the teachings. Manna and quail, the book says, the manna fell down as a small thing. They looked like small upon the ground. It was a shiny thing, they say, and they were told to collect it in the same day, for it will spoil if they let it stay out. And they were told not to leave it out until the sun comes up, because when the sun comes up, it will cause it to melt. It's talking about your individual ability to understand the teachings. God will bless you with the insight and understanding, but if you don't collect it, the moment you get it, it won't have the same quality once you have to go back and think of it again. Go back and get it. So if you have to go back and try to think of it again and get what came to your mind as a thought and inspiration from God, you won't find it fresh and healthy and wholesome like it was before. Very talented. And if you neglect to use that wisdom in your own personal life, when the sun comes up, it will vanish. Meaning that when God judges you, when the day of judgment comes, you won't receive any credit for it. It will be like you never received it. Why? Because you didn't take it in and apply it to your own life. It came to you. It rained down from heaven. It was there for you. But you left it out there until judgment day. Judgment day comes and God gives you nothing. Say, God, where is my manna that you rained down for me? He will ask, did you use it? You will say, no, I didn't use it. He will say, you don't have it then. It has also another meaning. It means that if you don't use knowledge when it comes to you, once the whole society is lit with understanding, then you won't have anything. The whole world is knowledgeable, and you are in ignorance. Your little idea, inspiration, that came to you has vanished and is gone. Why? Because you didn't use it. If you had used it, it would have multiplied, and your light would have been bright like the light of the day. But because you didn't use it, it died without development. And when the society is light, they don't even see what you receive. And isn't that a tendency in many of us to just take the teachings for granted and listen to it like a piece of music, wait until the next Sunday is played, and we take it into our own intelligence and apply it into our own human life and thinking to benefit from it, to grow with it, so when the whole society is embraced the light of Al-Islam, they will be much further ahead of you. They will be enlightened and you will be still dark. That is still in the dark because you didn't apply the wisdom that came to you. Quail is like bee, meaning man must make effort. It says that he rained down from heaven manna and quail. Now manna is this thing came down, it just fell. It wasn't living matter, it just fell. Then he rained down quail. Now quail is a bird, like a small pigeon. If quail comes down, quail is going to have the hell out of the wind to keep from hurting themselves. And they are going to have light down. They are going to have to come down with some effort from their own power. So isn't this like the honey? Can you see the connection? One milk requires no effort. Just teach you. It hits your ear. But then you are responsible to take up the effort yourself. If you don't, you're going to come up short when the day of enlightenment comes. But the other one, quail, comes down with great effort. And it's for you. You can bring the quail, but it is the great effort that we are bringing this forth. What is this effort? It is the ability of the imam to ride the winds of emotion, to ride the influence of the world and not be blown away by them. The ability to discipline yourself in the wind or atmosphere, the influence of the world that doesn't come to you without great effort. The wisdom of the Quran is here, but it requires great discipline on the part of your leader. It has to be discipline. I have to discipline my moral life. I have to discipline my emotional life. I have to discipline my spiritual life. I have to discipline my mind. I have to discipline myself. I have to learn how to discipline and control myself while I'm in the influence of the world. So the religious people, the good imam, they don't come to the people without great effort. They have to have great effort to cross the emotional nature of society. The spiritual influence in the atmosphere offers such great challenges to them that they have to beat the wind with their own effort. Now, when that kind of person comes to us, we have to manage to survive the temptation of the world and manage to teach its spirituality from flying through the wind of temptation, lust. Bird eating, it means to get discipline in yourself. So when he comes to us, oh, how sweet it is to us. Quail is a sweet bird. His flesh is sweet. And we would like to pluck his feathers and get to his meat and eat him. I want this discipline in me. I want to be able to fly too. I want to be able to battle the winds and yet reach my own course and own destination. You see, this is something we ought to desire. We desire the knowledge, but we also want the spiritual discipline. Milk symbolic of spiritual discipline. Now, the milk that comes from the breast comes to give us spiritual discipline. We teach the child to be kind, to be clean, to be peaceful in his thinking and his action. We teach the child to appreciate mama and dad, to appreciate goodness no matter where it comes from. and to be polite, to be thankful. Isn't this the first fruits of the branch? Did any great philosopher have to come and bring us that? Every human being gets that knowledge by nature. So it's the milk of the bread. It's very soft. It's easy to swallow. It's made for the baby. That kind of teaching is made for the baby. And the mother has it waiting for the baby as soon as the baby can listen, open his ear. In fact, the treatment that the mother gives the baby begins to give the discipline to the baby, cleaning him up when he is dirty, teaching him that he shouldn't be dirty, that he shouldn't stink, protecting him, teaching him love and compassion, answering his cries when he is hungry and thirsty, and gratefulness, gratitude, appreciation, you see. And then she begins to talk to him when he grows older and older. And he begins to learn from her. And she begins to teach him the language of the human being, right and wrong, etc. So this is nature. These are the first fruits of nature. So it's like a discipline. But look what it says of the manna, which tells you clearly that it's the honey. It says that each man take what he can handle for himself and take it into his own house. Beehive represents conscience work with the essence of truth. Each bee makes his own honey for his own household. You see, each man make it into his own house, which means into its own hole. Believe it all. If the bee don't get to the hive with the pollen and whatever it collected from the flower, it won't be any good. It will go to waste. But if it takes it to the hive and the hive begins to work on it, what does the hive represent there? It represents your conscience. Take it in individual conscience, and they work with the essence of truth that you get from the teaching. Bee seals whole with wax so it won't be polluted. And if you work with it, your own efforts will produce from the essence of honey. And when you taste it, it's sweet. You will enjoy it. Just getting the pollen is nice. Isn't it exciting how the bees work? They just come out buzzing, and they go and they fly to the flower, and they work enthusiastically with their feet and fly back to the hive, and each one goes at this little hole, and they are busy working, and when they get through, they seal it with wax. Why? Because God doesn't want it to be polluted. He wants to keep it pure. He doesn't want any other influence to reach the truth that he's got. So he seals it with the wax, and it stays in there for a time. Is that right? And the bees is working in there. And the bees come out, seal up the time. There was honey ready for eating. Very nice. Very nice. He has worked. He has labored. He has brought into it his own conscience. He has protected it from the contamination ideas of the world. He has kept it pure and developed it with his own intelligence. He's working with it. And he saw that this is more than just essence. This is food for my own substance. So this is something I can eat. I can live on this. Just the aroma is nice, isn't it? I guess the bees smell like we do, just working with the pollen and smelling all those nice fragrances. I guess that's just like the spiritual excitement that you get. Teach, Brother Imam. Teach, Chief. He got a whiff of pollen. Teach, Chief. Pollen, he's going crazy. but have the sense to fly back to your own conscience and in your own intelligence develop those ideas until you have a sweet substance for your own life. Quail is a spiritual discipline. So that the manna, but the quail, then it comes down. The people have to catch it. And it's hard to catch, isn't it? It's a flying thing. So you're going to either know how to shoot very accurately, or you are going to have to trick that quail, get him in a trap, or you are going to have to be awfully fast with the hand when it comes near you. Catch him real quick. It's difficult to get spiritual discipline, very difficult. Feathers represents knowledge and wisdom. And when you get ready to eat him, you have to pluck him first, meaning that there is wisdom. The feathers represents knowledge. You are going to have to first take off the surface violence. You don't eat the feathers. The primitive people, the native people, plucked off the feathers and got down to the meat. You took off the dress, the serpent language, symbolism, and you were blessed to see the meat. That's what you want to eat. Meat you usually wash it up, right? So you wash the meat up and you might season it, cook it, then eat the meat. All of this has meaning, but we are going to deal with all of it, just the plucking and the eating of the meat. Pluck feathers means get the heart of the matter. You pluck off the surface color that is usually symbolism, and you get down to the heart of the matter, the real knowledge. The Bible says that milk is for the baby, but meat is for the learned. You have to have teeth to handle meat. So that tells us that really the knowledge that we need for spiritual discipline, that great knowledge, that's discipline that we enable us to fight the influence of this world and yet reach our goal. That bird has to be able to beat the wind and reach his goal, reach his destination. That kind of knowledge is not on the surface. It is under the surface. You have to pluck off the feathers to get to the meat. Now, dear brothers and sisters, what the church has offered us has been feathers. The church has offered us nothing but milk and feathers, no honey. They only give the students of the theology honey, the members. They get no honey. Only the students of theology get some honey. And they don't get too much. Weak honey, watered down honey. So Quran Surah 48, Ayah 10, pledge to the prophet, Ilahi God. Elahin Naz means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion. When man has been focused, or formed, pardon me, as a community, and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government in its heart worship God, who has been in all of his development, to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a calling, saying to faith, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. So what intelligent man will believe in? Not seasonal man who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about man who makes an alliance for his life when he puts their hand in the hand of the leader. It is not only their hand. It is the hand of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. So this is how they pledged their alliance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter from dead matter to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. Hand of Allah above all. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10 to 18. Hand Allah above all in oath. El Hadith, page 1307 and 100. Allah Hand on Group. Bukhari, page 147. Poor with compete to build tall structures. Can I tell you plain truth? Would you go crazy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you right now through Elijah's son. And I am not a prophet. I am no angel. I am Wallace D. Muhammad. The prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said a sign of the end of the world will be that the poor people will be competing with the rich people in the building of skyscrapers. Isn't this a tall house we are building right now? We are putting together a tall structure right now. And I think we can compete with the rich, can't we? Not just the rich in money, but the rich also in knowledge. Please, don't repeat what I told you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to Elijah's son. You don't want to repeat that. I have been under the tree, rather the tree where the follower of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, took an oath, and they placed their hand on his hand and kept placing their hands on each other's hand, and their hands were supported by his hand, and his hand was the first to take the oath upon. They were told by God that the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the last hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verified that oath was approved by him. The Quran, Surah 48, Ayah 10, Allah hand over their hand at the oath. So this is why I mentioned that I had a vision. I did. It was just like it was real that I was with the followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, under the tree, when they made their oath to him. The first one put his hand on his hand. And then they kept putting hands over hands in the dream, and I came in and I put my hand there. It was a big pile of hands way up there, and I put my hand in there. And they just kept on piling them up. And the last hand is God's hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it in the Quran that his hand is above your hand. Prophet Muhammad could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue tomorrow with Prophet Muhammad. Could have destroyed other religions if he wanted to. I'm your host for this evening, Elahi Ubay. I thank New Africa Enterprise, LLC, Miraj, for allowing us to come before you once again. And I thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.